dbkmediaservices.com. You are listening to the SVC Sports Talk Podcast. SVC Sports Talk is brought to you by SVCSportsZone.com. And now, here are your hosts, Shane Combs, John Bruce, and Bruce Knox. Hello, everybody, and welcome in to show 288 of SVC Sports Talk. We welcome you, and thank you so much for listening in on the podcast. My name is Bruce Knox, and I would first like to tell you this is brought to you by SVCSportsZone.com, where we're always SVC 100% of the time. And I'd like to introduce our two young men who like to talk sports, particularly SVC sports. Say hello first to John Bruce. Say hello, John.
Hey, Bruce. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Are you still keeping busy attending all the various SVC sports that you can attend?
For the most part, yeah. Just seeing a lot of soccer lately. Been seeing not as much volleyball as probably I would want to. It's right. Just kind of some weird stuff scheduling wise. And I'm still like, you know, I'm not worried about the COVID stuff for me personally, but I'm still like, I don't want to push on some of these places.
Sure.
Like soccer, I'm great. Yeah. Because you're outside.
Yeah.
You know, with volleyball, sometimes it's like, you know, for me personally, I don't want to take a seat away, even though as a media member we get in, I don't want to take a seat away from a family member and something
sure.
like that.
Sure.
But I've been following all the updates and everything. I've been watching the different broadcasts, like Shane's broadcast of that really good game the other night.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it's just nice to those options are out there. Mm-hmm. And for those family members that can't get out to see them are able to. So I've been able to at least stay from afar watching a lot more games this year than I really have overall.
Sure. And I know this next young man has been doing everything he can to get out and see all the SVC sports. Say hello to Shane Combs. Hello, Shane.
Hey guys. Yeah, it's been a busy week. John mentioned there, I enjoyed doing that on Tuesday night. Paint Valley's reached out to us throughout the year to do that. And as a result, as I said on the air that night, not just Paint Valley, but we've had an opportunity with our YouTube channel and on calling some stuff to also get a little bit of Adina's community and Piketon and Zane Trace and Southeastern and a lot of different things there.
Shane, do you think this will ever go back the way it was once?
I think a lot of it, Bruce, is going to have to be the business side of it. You know, unfortunately, it is a business when you get to the OHSA level. And so a lot of the decisions, and John, you tell me if you disagree, I think a lot of it is going to come down to how are they going to treat some of the regular season, particularly on the football side and some of these different things in terms of live events and copyright and type, all those different things that they want access to or so forth. So I think it's going to open discussion. And I think it's going to really be business world meeting technology and meeting high school sports and so forth. And it certainly opened our eyes to some options. I know that.
Yeah, it sure has. John, any thoughts there?
I'm just hoping that with everything, you know, I know you have to pay to broadcast in the football playoffs, mm-hmm. especially just radio. I hope that they give that same option for video as well, because I know they haven't allowed video of the events, but if many less people are able to go, I really hope that they, even if it is for a nominal fee, you still have that option out there for these people that are wanting to get out and cover the events.
Yeah, I think for the playoffs coming up and so forth, I think it'll probably stay about like it is. That's just my thoughts. But mm-hmm. I was thinking maybe, you know, hopefully we get through this, depending on what your thought pattern is, you know,
first part of next year. And then maybe next year, I mean, there's going to be a lot of people. I've seen a change as far as businesses working remotely. I think that that's never going to return 100% to way it was. But I just wondered, in our world of covering sports, are we going to go back to the way it was versus the way it is now? And I think it probably will change things a little bit. I'm thinking down the road, but who knows?
Yeah, I think it's not a bad change or anything. I think it'll make it to where a lot of different people will have a chance to make an impact in different ways. Like for students, like I think we've discussed it before, where Chillicothe has like a class where the kids work on a lot of that stuff. And yes, that's a bigger school, but that's something that maybe other schools can step in. I know when I was in high school, we had a video journalism class and we had these MacBooks, and the class lasted like 3 or 4 years, and like people stopped, you know, the interest kind of dropped off, and it may have been like the teacher that ran it left. But I think something like that, because there's all kinds of opportunities for kids that maybe aren't going to play sports that still love sports to cover them. And I think this is something that if schools are creative and the money is there, like Shane, you said, with the business end of it, you know, I think this is a great opportunity to take advantage of this for a lot of different people to stay involved.
Sure. No question.
All right. Well, the world, it is changing, but we've got a show to put together here. So Shane, what's going to be on our agenda for this evening?
Well, we have a great show. I think anybody that knows myself, and I'd say John could probably be classified in here too if he wants to be or not, and that would be the sports junkie. You know, when it comes to, you know, a lot of times I'm just driving down the road and I'll think of these things, or no matter where I go, it seems like I run into someone that has kind words about the website. I was even at a Pee Wee event the other day. They said no announcing tonight, no play-by-play or that type of thing. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So it's always fun to know that people are listening or watching, and that they, you know, they love student athletes. They love the atmospheres, even though the atmosphere is a little different this year, and they appreciate what we're doing. So I took some of that feedback and just threw it into a fun fill-in-the-blank. Hope I don't offend anybody on a couple of answers tonight again. I would tell people just relax, just having fun. Postseason outlooks per sport, we're going to go through that. The COVID-19 outlook and the look ahead. And, you know, each of these section guys, we'll continue to highlight our great sponsors. Advanced Services, appreciate all that they do. Advanced Services will be with one of our segments tonight. North Fork Animal Clinic, appreciate Blake and all that he's done to support our kids here on the website. So we'll put North Fork Animal Clinic there with a segment. And then Pickaway Ross Career and Technology Center, not just the vocational work in the high school, but the incredible adult programs that Bruce will give some information on at one point in the show. So, again, I know Pickaway Ross CTC, there's been a sponsorship on our stat sheet. Had some real good updates with volleyball and football and so forth. So, I appreciate all the sponsors, but again, you'll hear those sponsors throughout the show here per segment. And but you know, Bruce, I thought before we get into that, I know you had asked me a question on the air last week, and that kind of brought up some interesting feedback. If you want to kind of let everybody know what we're talking about there.
Sure. I think we were talking about the playoffs a little bit, and football in particular. And how, you know, everybody in football gets in this year if they so desire. And I asked the question just out of my own ignorance. You know, I thought, well, why might somebody not take that advantage of that? I mean, for those schools who have never been in the playoffs, it's an opportunity. You know, it's an opportunity to extend your games to at least 7 in the regular season or in the season. And so I just ask, is there any reason for teams not deciding to play? And I'll kind of drop it right there, Shane. I don't know, we just kind of kicked it around a little bit. But you didn't know at the time about what was to happen, I believe, the next day, as a matter of fact.
Well, to be honest, on the air, I was wrong. I'm looking back at last week's show when you asked me that, Bruce, I kind of felt like that nobody would turn down the opportunity. not because it was a right or wrong decision. I was just giving you a an opinion based on what I thought the PR would be. You know what I mean? The public relation or how people might perceive that. And, you know, John, as I started to talk to more and more people, I know Huntington made this decision, and you know, I've been asked probably four or five different times by different people from different schools, not in a negative way at all, just asking, they're intrigued by it. You know what I mean? It's one of those that, you know, moving forward, do you think it's the right decision? And I'll be honest, I think it makes a lot of sense. In week seven, they're going to go at Dayton Christian. Week eight, they're going to go at River Valley. Week nine, South Point coming here to Huntington, if I read that right. You know, John, to me, when I see that type of aggressive scheduling, in no way are they trying to quit on their kids. I look at it as a decision. It's a very positive one. You know, it's a program that is obviously in a complete restructure stage, trying to build from the ground up. And when you do that, a lot of times you're going to have youth. A lot of times you're not going to have depth. A lot of times you're not going to, you know, a lot of times you're going to give up 20, 25, 30 pounds per spot on the offensive line. And, you know, that leads to some frustrating regular season games. And as a really low seed, you know, as well as I do, what kind of draw they were going to get, that, you know, they're going to have an elite team waiting on them there in the first round, or at least a better team waiting. And then if you know, beyond that, even better. So I understand it. As I studied a little bit more and had a real open mind about it, I'll be honest, I thought it was a positive decision moving forward. John, I had one more thought on actually not my thought, actually someone asked me, but I thought I would stop there first and give you a chance to comment on that.
Well, if you look at their region, they would have to go to someplace like Sarasville for Shenandoah, probably not going to be very competitive. Or they go to Proctorville. And also, at the same time, this year they're not getting money to travel. So they would be taking this long trip, cost the school money to go play in what is not really, because the fans still aren't back, isn't truly a playoff atmosphere. So I think it's a smart decision. They've picked up three teams that they're all winless. Those are games that they'll be able to most likely compete in to keep building their program to one day get into the playoffs on their own instead of in a year like this. So I think it was a really smart move for Huntington. I wouldn't have blamed them either way, but I do think it's smart for the way they're trying to build their program, especially since they did pick up the three extra games, because that's showing, hey, we want to play. Just we're realistic about what our expectations are right now. So go get a win or two out of those games if they can, and then you just build going into next year.
I agree. The other comment that was made to me, John, and I thought this was a bit extreme at first, and then I stopped to think about it. I always, the one thing the websites made me do, and as I studied leadership, and I've been in education and coaching for over two decades now, is I try to stop and really be open-minded to thinking things through. And one person had asked me, do you think sometimes programs – and this isn't Huntington football at all. Please understand it. This is a general conversation here that they were having. They said, do you think sometimes programs reach a point where it would benefit them to step back away from the varsity level and play at the JV level and then resume varsity play within the next year as they build their program and their numbers back up? Very similar to way a Southern Hills League or an SOC small school, John, would start – you know, football. They would start at the junior high for two or three years, and they would have JV. And I got to thinking about that, and again, I thought that it would be a PR nightmare. One, in your community, I don't know that it would go over real well. But two, I understood the concept in terms of trying to play at a more like level or play in a competitive atmosphere. But I think this is more along the lines. I think in a normal schedule, you know, in basketball, you pick 80 of your games. In football, you pick, 30% of your games still. So in baseball, I know we basically pick half. You know, we play 27 of them, 14 or league. So I guess all I would say is that our SVC teams, no matter how down we are in a particular sport, always has the opportunity to do enough of their schedule. The COVID-19 season was obviously unique, but always has enough of their schedule. I think that particular thing that was suggested to me, and again, this was not Huntington football. This was just sports in general, where we've had, you know, programs throughout different sports struggle. And to me, John, that sounds a bit extreme. Your thoughts on that?
Well, I do think that's extreme, especially if it's not like, I mean, you look at, we'll say Southeastern from, was it 95, where they didn't have a team?
Right.
And, you know, we're not at that point.
It'd been the 96 seniors, I believe, fall of 95, right?
Yeah. And then, of course, 4 years later, they make the playoffs and win the league. But not something that you would expect. But I think with, you know, it's, you can't really hit the restart button on a program. I think you just had to keep trying to build. And maybe you just, like you said, you have three games that you can schedule. Make them games that are winnable games. Don't go out and, you know, maybe don't schedule somebody because you've had them on the schedule before if it's going to be a loss. I mean, if you're – I know – I'll use Greenfield to go outside the league. Greenfield has really hit some rough times in football, and they had played Uniota for, I think it was like 12 to 14 years. Well, Uniota was kind of on the opposite end of the spectrum on that, and they've kind of flipped – because where the Uniota was when they first picked them up, and McLean ended up dropping it so they could have a more winnable game in there because they weren't going to beat Uniota this time, but it was smarter for them as a program. And I think they ended up getting their first win of the year last year was in that same week. So they did it a really smart way. Now, if you're going to go back and like look to restart a program, and you mentioned the small schools, I mean, if you have to do that, but it would have to be – you'd have to have just a minimal amount of juniors and seniors if you're going to just drop down to like a JV season. Because if you look at like Eastern Pike, they were right now – if you looked at a normal season, they would be in the playoff hunt. And I think this is like their fourth or fifth year of varsity football, and they slowly did the buildup. Right. And, you know, that worked out. But – they didn't have to completely restart. I think completely hitting the restart button is not ideal, especially if you have an established coach there as well.
Well, interesting that, you know, we kind of asked that question and then it plays out right in front of us next week. But we're going to let our SVC sports junkies fly here momentarily. But first, I want to mention our sponsor, that being Pickaway Ross Career and Technology Center, and particularly their adult education programs, as they focus on the fact that they offer in-demand career training in under a year. Almost all of the full-time programs are on the Ohio's in-demand jobs list, and they offer training in such things as health technologies, skilled trades, public safety, and IT. We always need some good IT folks out there. And their full-time programs are eligible for financial aid to those who qualify, just like regular colleges and universities. You can get additional information by calling 740-642-1288. And you can find some information on the web at www.pickawayross.com, our sponsor for this section, as we play that wonderful new game show, SVC Sports Junkie Fill in the Blank. And Shane, since you came up with this, I'm going to let you explain the rules.
Well, like I said, different things that come to my mind, fun things, and things that I'm asked every now and then, you know, get me thinking down a certain path. And it's ironic, John, because a lot of times it's perspective. You know, if I go around and I watch everybody equally, you know, a lot of times if you follow a particular team in volleyball, you literally only get to see the league team one time. So you might be seeing them in a different matchup. You might be seeing them on a weird night. You might be seeing them on a night where someone's not there. Just a lot of different things. So I thought we'd spread the wealth. There's five of them on here. and you can use a particular sport up to two times, John. That'll force me and you to think outside the box and spread the wealth here a little bit. And we'll just kind of run with it. We'll fill in the blank, give a real short description. If anything deserves more conversation, we can, and we'll just kind of go with it. I think in the process, we'll still mention a lot of programs, a lot of kids.
All right. Here we go. The first one. I wonder if I am the only one who stops to think about blank. I wonder if I am the only one who stops to think about blank. John, you want to try this first?
I reckon I can do that.
Okay.
I wonder if I'm the only one who stops to think about just how ridiculous SVC volleyball is. At what high level that we have in our conference, really good coaching. You know, it's really special how good the league is, and I'm excited to see the tournament run. I know we're going to talk about it a little bit later, but there's several teams that can make really special runs this year, and they're, for the most part, pretty young. I mean, Zane Trace has a lot of seniors. I mean, Unioto has two seniors at this point. You know, they're probably still a year away from really being super competitive, but like Adina has one senior and they are insanely good. You know, it's just, to me, it just shows how much dedication there is to the sport around here and, you know, how good it is. And especially in, you know, the club level is really good. You know, a lot of our coaches coach in that club level also, mm-hmm. which helps. You know, that's, we always hear like, oh, we're rooting for each other when we get to the postseason. Well, a lot of these coaches definitely are because they coach these kids. They all know each other. And I think that's what's really taken SEC volleyball to a really special level.
All right. Okay, Shane, you're to fill in this blank. Same one. I wonder if I'm the only one who stops to think about blank.
I wonder if I'm the only one who stops to think about Isaac Little playing running back in that Piketon offense. I mean, I started crunching some numbers the other day, John, and as I was putting a stat sheet on there, I'm looking at these passing things, and I think the Coach Gullion down there at Piketon, I think he's one of the really unique play design guys, and I think he's a great play caller. And obviously, this has nothing to do with transferring or anything like that. That's irrelevant. This is just me having fun and looking at football. And I'm looking at an Isaac Little at quarterback and Gullion at quarterback. They both complete right around 60%. You know, even Little as a quarterback is going to throw for probably over 1,000 yards or real close to it. Gullion's going to push, depending on what the game lost there. I don't know what they're going to do with that. Up there and some of the rushing, and I'm intrigued by the Piketon receiving core with Lohr and Chandler and Burton and even Maynard. And over on that Unioto side, people know, if you've listened to the show here a little bit, the Fox kid is outstanding. I mean, he's special. So, I mean, you got a lot of athletes on both sides, but it just intrigues me. Someone was joking the other day, like, you know, that offense, what would that offense average? And I'm thinking, well, they average, you know, 34 now. You know what I mean? It's one of those things. And so it's just intriguing to me. Anytime you have those types of things where kids go to different schools or whatever, you always wonder what if, and you always kind of look at things. And so I honestly say that more as a compliment to all involved. But with Gullion and Little, it's been such a treat to watch those two young men compete. We know about Preston Sykes. We know about Kevin Cooper and what they've done there. But the quarterback play in this league has just been unreal. And to think of two of them combining together, that's just kind of fun for me to sit and think about sometimes.
All right. We move on to our second fill in the blank here. And I think I'll come back to you, Shane. I wonder if the average fan truly realizes blank.
Well, I'm real similar to John's first one, but maybe in a little bit different way. How close the SVC Volleyball League has been top to bottom this fall. You know, when we first started this, John, the league's always been good. But if I'm being honest, the top of the league used to obviously be crazy separated, you know, with what Adina had done and with Westfall maybe closed. But when you got down to the 4, 5, 6, 7 spots, you weren't really – I mean, yeah, they were good outside our league. Our league's always set kind of a standard. They've always done well in the non-league. But it's never quite been – head to head like this. I mean, you know, when you look this year, our fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh place teams, even in their respective division, are going to have chances to legitimately enter a tournament bracket with the idea of earning a medal at the district level, either as a runner up or as a champion. And I don't know that that's always been the case, I guess, is the way to say it. So our league's always been good, but inside our league, Coach Coker talked about it on that interview the other night. If you go back and listen there on our YouTube, I know it's a long night of film there because we put some JV at the beginning. But if you go all the way to the end of that and listen to her talk about it, she was even trying to say a little bit of this in terms of it's always been good, but there's even more parity within it. Mm-hmm. And I totally understood what she said. You know, I mean, it's unbelievable to see how one night Southeastern goes 5 with Paint Valley, and Paint Valley had an opportunity to beat them. And then what Southeastern do, John, two nights later without Ava Christopher, and you know, where she is back out of the lineup, they go to Westfall and win the first set. Mm-hmm. So just a lot of fun to follow the parity involved in all of it.
All right, John, you're whack here at I wonder if the average fan truly realizes blank.
How special of a career Unio to Sidney Free has had in soccer. You know, you hear about it a lot, and maybe you see some of the non-league scores, like when they go and they play an Olentangy and a New Albany, and they give up 18 goals in those two games. Well, that's not saying how many shots she's still saving. She's still really, really special. She's going to make the, you know, more than likely, I think she needs one shutout to get there. The all-time state record book for most career saves, and she missed 4 or 5 games last year, a couple of which she would have definitely had chances to get shutouts in. You know, it's just we see they have somewhat dominant games in the league, but she's just so solid back as a goalkeeper. Her defense is outstanding. She's had, Abby Seals, Jaden McKell have been 3-year players right now, 4 in front of her. Allie Cox is another one who's a 2-year starter. And Ariel Pelletier, we thought, when we first saw her, me and Derek talked about this on Saturday. When we watched, we were like, man, this might be the next great goal scorer for Uniota. And, well, now she's playing defense and is pretty elite at it. So just for someone like her, you know, goalies, you can see it in different teams. If a team doesn't have a very good goalie, it doesn't matter how good the 10 in front of them are. If your goalie's not very good, not very athletic, there's a good chance you're going to go up goals. Like when Uniota played Marietta the other night, Marietta came in with backup goalie, and just she was small, wasn't very good, and you could tell the big difference between the two teams was in the goalkeeper spot. So, you know, that's that senior class at Uniota is I think 2 wins away from becoming the winningest senior class ever in Uniota girls soccer, which is
saying so.
Yeah, with how good some of those classes have been. You know, they've won a lot of games, and a lot of it's because of Free. Also, obviously, the defenders I mentioned, but it's a really special career for, a great kid.
Hey, Bruce, real quick, sure. Too. Like, I know the Great Seal Sports that I write for, the magazine that had just come out has Preston Sykes, Megan Steele, their feature. But in the upcoming one, it's going to be Sierra Mitten, who's obviously scoring goals at an amazing rate, and Sidney Free. And John will have some breakdown in there as our analyst and so forth, where he'll give us some quotes. But, John, I thought you'd appreciate this as you were talking. When I had a chance to interview Sidney Free, she rattled off like – a long list of teammates. You know what I mean? It's just her personality to kind of take all of the recognition and throw it off. You know, I was looking here at my notes. She literally started rattling off Myers and Kaufman and Gonneau and Mikkel and Seals and Cox and another Mikkel and Pelletier, and talked about Jayla Campbell throughout her career, and Thompson and Gum and Avery Miller and Robinson. I mean, she just kept going on and on and on. And that just kind of, that told me a lot as a coach myself in terms of the leadership, and her just must be outstanding.
Oh yeah. And that's where, like, for a team, you maybe don't think of it starting from the back, but it starts from her communication. But it's also that makes their teammates better, is knowing how good she is. So that gives the defenders maybe a chance to take a few more chances and be able to stand out a little bit more as well. But she's right. Just some great teammates. And if, like you mentioned, for anybody that hasn't talked to her, that is a just one outstanding kid, is going to do great things moving on.
All right. Speaking of moving on, we are going to move on to our third fill in the blank. We're coming to John on the first one on this one. I wonder if the league has ever considered blank. I wonder if the league has ever considered blank.
Hang with me on this.
Okay. Sounds like we're going around Robin's barn to get there. Go ahead.
Changing the league format in football to have non-league games mixed in like in other sports. You know, like every other sport has. I know if you look at college football, outside the SEC playing the Citadel, Charleston Southern, and late in the season, everybody just plays in conference. But I know there was a year back in the early years of the SEC where week one was against a league opponent, and then you mixed in a couple, and then you went back. I just think you could have some really fun matchups later in the season. I know it probably doesn't makes sense if only the SEC would do it, because, you know, who are you going to play? There's like, what, two or three independent schools in the Southeast District. So, you know, it would have to be all leagues doing it. But I think it'd be kind of fun just to, you know, sometimes in basketball you get like a late January, early February, just really, really good non-league matchup. And I think that'd be pretty fun to have, you know, with some of these football teams, especially crossing divisions. I understand why you wouldn't do it, but I think it could be pretty fun.
Well, Bruce, it seemed like there with the TVC there, I don't know if it's still this way, if they even their number out or not, but like when they had the odd number, a lot of the conferences, you had that random bye week where you did have to kind of look out around Ohio to see who had that random week off. So that is interesting, but it would have to probably around the Southeast District catch on a little bit more to get some of those matchups you're wanting.
Yeah, that's I was going to say, the TVC kind of does that, but there's a preponderance of your league games, and then there's the occasional non-league game to kind of fill in different places as well. But you're right, you'd have to have some other leagues doing that same kind of thing too. All right. Good.
I just want to thought it probably helps the TVC that there's also two sides.
Yeah.
So if there is a bye week, you can always just look on the other side. Now, that wouldn't work with like Athens and South Gallia, but you know, some of the like size schools possibly could, but possibly. It would take a lot of work, more work than what I am willing to do. So
okay, so maybe that wasn't such a great suggestion then, John.
I didn't say it was.
I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. All right. Well, Shane, your chance here. I wonder if the league has ever considered blank.
Not playing the 18-hole finale as two separate golf matches. I'm not in love with the format in golf. And yeah, I think our golf league does far more right than it does wrong. It's just something I've always been intrigued by. I think we're a little slow to get into our league matches. And then, you know, like this year, we end up playing three rounds in a matter of about 30 hours. I didn't love it. But I think that I'm okay with the 18 hole for sure. I love the 18 hole grind at the end. I think maybe I would be more of a fan of maybe double points. You can make it mandatory for kid to have to play in that 18 hole to be on the all league. I think that's more than fair. I mean, think about it, John. There's only one way to make cross country all league. You have to run in the SVC meet, right? Or in the track, you have to run in the SVC track meet. So you could build in the averages irrelevant because it's about strokes. So you could say that you have to play the 18-hole event. And then if you've played in all of the 9-hole events, then maybe you could throw out your rounds from there and base it on there, because again, it's on total strokes. And you know, as I'm talking about that, I should say congratulations to the Uniota Shermans, Coach Drummond. I update on the history page there his long run of tradition. Joel Richendollar of Southeastern, he's a young man through Great Seal Sports, got a chance to get to know earlier in the year. Super kid, you know, finished out that stretch of golf I'm talking as 40, 39, 42 to win player of the year. And, you know, Lewis and Cummins and Latham and Platt, Evans, Armstrong, Tucker, Kearns, Horn, DeLong, Barlow, Zitzelberger, I think I'm saying that right, mm-hmm. from St. Trace, and then Kern of Westfall, and then Emily Lott sneaks in that last spot there. So congratulations. Those all league unofficial are on the website there at the bottom of the golf page. But, you know, I just thought it was something that if we could spread that out just a little bit more, and then maybe tweak a little bit of how we maybe look at the double points there to kind of keep it interesting. But it's crazy how close that golf was down the stretch. You know, Uniota winning 3 or 4 of those matches there at the end just by, you know, 1, 2, 3 shots. And again, when you talk about 4 scores being posted, that's just a 3-foot putt here or there, or maybe a lucky bounce that stays in bounds somewhere or whatnot. So, again, congratulations. Hopefully we can spread out and golf the way we normally do and have a little bit of success. But yeah, I'll probably touch on that a little bit later in the show.
Yeah. One thing I want to throw out, that Emily Lott, that's the first time a female golfer from Uniota has been all league.
Yes.
Yeah. So pretty cool for her. I know she was pretty close last year. And Dan Drummond just glows and like raves about her. And she plays in her sectional before this show will even be on.
Right. Right. Yeah. Thank you for mentioning that. That's good stuff.
We continue mm-hmm. our SVC Sports Junkie fill in the blank with Shane attacking this one first. I wonder if things would have been different if blank.
Football would have played the normal 10 weeks. And again, I know we talked about this a little bit on last week's show, John, but I guess that maybe we only attacked it from one angle. You know, we talked a lot about, you know, Payne Valley Adena would have been week 4 instead of week 1. But a lot of things would have been different. You know, the Piketon Uniota matchup would have been week 4. Mm-hmm. You know, some of these matchups would still be getting played in week 10. That I still think there's some interesting matchups out there. I know the other night I was disappointed. I'm not going to sit here and question anybody in their leadership roles or whatever. They're tough decisions. I can have my opinions, but I'm not in positions to make some of these. But I know the Westfall Piketon game was where I was heading the mm-hmm. other night, and it got called off really late. But I guess I just look at it, the non-league schedule that you're referring to could certainly dictate things. Yeah, you could have kids get hurt. You could have had different situations take place. You know, people, I know the one thing people keep saying is, man, Paint Valley, what if they could play Dean again? Well, what if Paint Valley would have played that non-league schedule, getting used to a new coach, and, you know, started 1-3? You know what I mean? Would they have responded the same way they have at 0-1? So, again, I'm just throwing that out there to be fair, because, again, I think Dean is really, really good. But that's just something that's intrigued me. It seems like it comes up every week in conversation about certainly this being a unique year.
All right, John, you want to attack this? I wonder if things would have been different if.
Well, I'm going to go into the Wayback Machine here. I wonder we don't have this show if this happens, but I wonder if things would have been different if we would have had the mass consolidation that was discussed in the 60s, where it was like, I want to say it was Clarksburg, Frankfort, Uniota would have consolidated, Paint Valley, Huntington would have consolidated, which I think we hear every couple of years anyway, no matter if it's going to happen or not. Then Southeastern and Zane Trace, that was one of the consolidations. And then another one was like everybody but Chillicothe would have been one school. Like, how good would that school be at sports?
Yeah.
Like, we'd be really good. Of course, we'd be D1, but that'd be really fun. At the same time, like I mentioned, we wouldn't have this. Sports look completely different in the Southeast District if the SVC was not anything. And we're in a big league with Chillicothe and Logan and other schools, but it was just one of those random things I was thinking about the other day.
Yeah, I would add, I know I don't normally participate in this, but I wonder if things would have been different if COVID hadn't been a thing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Completely agree there.
Okay. Yeah, all right. Let's see. I've lost track of where I am. Shane, I think that one was yours, wasn't it, first? Okay, we're going back to John. I wonder what would happen if blank decided to blank. I wonder what would have happened if blank decided to blank, John.
I wonder what would happen if Matt Paxton decided to switch schools to tackle a new challenge. Because he has built an absolute monster at Unio with the cross country. I think I've talked about the first year that we were there for basketball, and he had like 40 cars in the parking lot there from all kinds of different places. And that was 12-13 years ago. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he's got his team in a great position. They go up and win that Pickerington race on Saturday. They're just a machine. Now, what if he decides, you know what? I'll just use Southeastern as an example. I'm going to go to Southeastern. I'm going to see if I can do the same thing there. You know, does Unio maintain what they're at? How quickly does Southeastern come up and kind of take over the mantle? Because it took him like 2 or 3 years to really turn things around at Uniota, and then it's been getting better every year. So to me, it would just be to see a coach like that. Just I would, as a Uniota guy, I'd prefer him to not leave. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I wonder what would happen if he did.
Okay. Shane, how do you fill in these two blanks here? I wonder what would happen if blank decided to blank.
All right, like John said earlier, go with me here. Now, just have some fun. I don't need people out there getting offended. I'm just having fun here.
Okay.
I wonder what would happen if Uniota boys cross country decided to wait an entire minute at the starting line and then take off in the SVC meet. I was looking back at last year. Okay, think about this. I assume they shoot a gun, John. There still, you know, I mean, they shoot something a gun like, or whatever. Yeah. They take off.
Yeah,
whatever.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So they imagine if they just said, okay, we're going to wait a minute, go, and then take off running. So I look back last year. They would not have won the individual title, but the top five kids, if I'm looking at this right, would have still basically finished like in the top six or seven. So, I mean, it's one of those things where it kind of goes to what John's saying. I'm having fun here, but I'm trying to prove a point of like they are running at completely a different level. And across the board, it's setting such a standard that it makes it tough, not only in the individual league, but in the team. I know a lot of these teams look to peak. A lot of these runners in their training will talk to you a lot about you want to peak right at the perfect time. And a lot of times in track and across country, it's not even about peaking at the SVC anymore. It's about trying to time it up and peak at a regional or if you're good enough at a state level. And it's just unbelievable to me when I was looking at those times and I got to thinking about certain things. Now I've been on record and I'll continue to be on record. The fact that we don't have a set number of kids per school that run in the SVC meet, I think is nothing short of stupid. And I'll say that word. It's stupid. But that's a debate for another time. I've been on record of saying that. I'm still confused as ever. We don't play football with 17 on the field. But with that being said, that the number, when you crunch some of these numbers, just go on there and look at the pace these kids are running at with Schoblock and Hecker and Lynch and Emil and another Lynch and all the way down, you know, what they were doing last year. And then I know two of those kids graduated and these other kids come back, John, now, but they were running the top five there in the race. Mm-hmm. And then I look down through and I see all of these returning kids, you know, with Ogun and Marco and so forth, all the way down. It's really, really impressive. Spetnagel, it's really, really impressive. And I'm anxious to see what they can do into the postseason this year, because they're really posting some impressive results against some elite fields here in the regular season.
Well, up at Pickerington yesterday, they raced in the kind of JV race and they had the top three finishers in it, with a couple of LaRues that'll be back next year and whatnot. And what you said kind of reminded me of the Braves, in between innings, the beat the freeze, to give them the head start, and you just catch up from behind. So that's
yeah.
Well, you guys should get some feedback on that, I would think. That's our SVC Sports Junkie fill-in-the-blank section of the program. I think that's kind of fun. I kind of felt like Gene Rayburn from Match Game. You guys probably don't remember that. But
God, that's such a good show.
It was 70s, I think, or particularly.
Yeah, they did a little bit in the 80s, and it wasn't nearly as good because there wasn't. Richard Dawson wasn't on there.
I see.
Because I think at some point somebody went, Richard, you got to stop kissing everybody. And he was like, I'm not doing it anymore.
Yep. All right. Well, we move along and to another section here where we talk about postseason possibilities. It's going to be brought to us by Advanced Services Heating, Cooling, and Refrigeration. Call 877-947-4499. Celebrating over 20 years of serving Southern Ohio. You can schedule a consultation today on their website, which is advancedservicesHVAC.com. That's Advanced Services Heating, Cooling, and Refrigeration. Okay, Shane, my instructions here are, Shane, give us an idea of what we're wanting to do in this segment. So,
well, what we're looking to do here is just go through each sport, and we're going to kind of give a postseason outlook on John, you could give it a grade, you can give it a number out of 10, you can give however you want to do it. I just what's your outlook in terms of a sectional, district, regional, state level, or an ABCD grade, whatever. We're not going to talk a lot of tennis right now. We will later on. We know, as we've talked about before, there at Adena with Shipley and the run that she made last year. We're hoping to get some details on that as we go, but we'll probably just kind of go with the other sports there. Bruce, you can go down the agenda and send them in whatever order you want. But what we'll do is we'll both just make a comment, John, on what we think is the outlook in terms of the SVC come postseason.
All right. Okay. We're going to first tackle golf. Shane, you want to take this one?
Yeah, I'll tell you what, I was a little concerned with some of the results that came in from the Zane Trace invite the other day. A lot of times, Zane Trace runs a real good 18-hole invite there, John, and what they'll do is they'll cut their teams down to five, just like they do in tournament. Mm-hmm. And you get a lot of different schools from around the area. And when I was looking at some of the team scores and some of the individual breakdowns, it was a little concerning. I've always felt like our kids have quite an advantage playing, say, at JC's. Right here in their own backyard, a course that not only they play during the year, but really all year around, you would think that a lot of these kids play. So we'll see. The thing that always has helped Uniota golf is they do spread out, with Uniota going to D2, and then Piketon, they go to another sectional. And then a lot of teams here at split into different divisions, even inside the JC sectional. So when Uniota goes away, that helps a little bit. And then Piketon able to represent us down there in the Portsmouth area as well. So that's something to look at. John mentioned the girls earlier. Westfall girls, I think, are locked and loaded. But again, in golf, you don't get that many spots on the girls' side. Obviously Maddie Schultz individually, along with a good team there, the Lady Mustangs looking to repeat on last year's success. And then, John, you mentioned Emily Lott going off. We have several other ladies like Emma Wendland and so forth that'll go and do the same thing there. So we'll follow our individual girls. I look for Jack Latham to really bounce back if his Westfall group. I think he's had a really, really good year. It's not always in golf that you play bad. It's just there's no defense, John. Sometimes the other guy plays good. You know what I'm saying? It's and then pay attention to Jalen Murda. He's starting to show signs again. He's someone that from last year's numbers, if he starts to come on, Rich and Dollar Evans pop, especially now where you're only playing five. The Southeastern team started to show signs at the end of the year. I thought they would be a third team in the mix this year. And then if I had to pick kind of a sleeper, a kid that's played really, really well, starting to really improve, I'd say Davis Kearns there to Dina, 41, 42, 41 in his last three rounds. Mid-80s really gives you a great chance to advance there. So you know, Uniota loses a lot, but they'll add Cottonbach, assuming he's healthy, back into the lineup there, and they'll have to pick out their five there, because again, they won't be able to play six. So that'll be interesting. So overall, Bruce, I don't love our chances, but we certainly have, with Westfall girls, Uniota boys, and then some of the individuals, maybe an opportunity to still have a very successful postseason.
All right. Anything from you, John, on golf, or you want to pass?
I kind of feel the same way. I don't love the overall scores that we've seen. They've gone up a little bit, but I do like the Westfall girls, especially Maddie Schultz. Emily Lott was really close to qualifying last year as a junior, and I'm excited to see how she does tomorrow.
And Emma Winland did go to the district last
year. Emma Winland did.
Hopefully get an opportunity to repeat.
It'd be nice to get some of those girls out that are been competing in the league, or like for Westfall, they're competing all over. You know, see how they do against the rest of the district. I don't love our boys' shots right now, just because, like I mentioned, with those individual scores. But you know, when you mention those scores from Davis Kearns down the stretch, it's really intriguing, especially for a young golfer.
You know, guys, I wonder, though, statewide, have the golf scores gone up? Because, I mean, there was a period of time there, I believe, where golf was not to be played, you know.
Well, that's fair. And you know, they didn't quite – I know from being a golfer myself there in high school that, you know, when you get out of school, when you start gearing up for the early fall start, you play a ton of golf. And a lot of these kids didn't get that opportunity, like you're saying. So it makes sense that the scores have improved later in the year. And tournament golf, as the weather starts to turn, is a different animal as well. So that'll be something to follow. But the only other thing I'll say about golf is it's unlike any other sport in terms of you have to play well on that day. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like I think I said this on the show last year, like Maddie Schultz doesn't get to go out and play defense against someone. You know what I mean? If Basie or Phillips or Mullins or Martin up at the net, if they're having a tough first set, well, they can defend you. Like their athleticism makes it hard for you to play.
Right.
Where like Maddie Schultz isn't allowed to say boo, like when the person gets ready to swing. You know what I'm saying? Like there's no defense. Like, so it's one of those things where she has to play well, and then she has no control over like if someone else just plays extremely well. So that's what makes golf really, really unique when it's time to compete at the tournament level.
I don't know. I used to use the old foot wedge on my opponent's golf ball from time to time. So there is some defense, but it's probably frowned upon, I should say. All right. We move on to the next sport, that being football. John, you want to kind of give us your thoughts there, maybe?
If I'm giving it a grade, I would probably say a C. Like, we have Adina and Paint Valley that are very likely to get buys. You know, we don't 100% know how some of these people are going to vote,
right?
But if they were in region 23, I would love their chances. But in region 24, with Mechanicsburg, Coldwater, West Jefferson, Covington, Fairbanks, Jamestown, Greenview, well, even you throw in a 1-4 Anna and an 0-5 Rockford Parkway, those are probably pretty good teams. Like I think we would have a good chance to beat them. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, they're playing in that MAC conference where they play for like three state championships a year because the football is just so insane. And that's why those teams have bad records. But you know, it's not an ideal region to be in. And I don't understand, you know, I'm not, I like geography. I like the study of. I would like to.
Something tells me you're not really talking about geography here.
Well, no, I kind of am. But how can Huntington, which is literally in Paint Valley's backyard, mm-hmm. be in a completely different region than Paint Valley? Like,
you've got to stop them and start them somewhere.
Yeah, but you probably could have stopped and started into a different, you know, county.
Yeah.
So let's say Coldwater gets the one seed. Well, a regional final, if a Dean or a Paint Valley has to go to Coldwater, that's 2.5 hours. And I'm guessing it's probably not an easy 2.5 hours, because if you go through Columbus, it's 3.5. So you're going all kinds of not great ways to get there. Well, I don't love the layout for our teams. I would like to have seen them be in the region with the other teams in the Southeast District. So that's the part for me I don't love. I like Westfall and Unita's chances of getting a home game. They're not going to be easy games for either of them if they do, but Paint Valley and Edina likely get byes. So I like that part, but I don't like our overall chances of making big time runs. Hopefully someone proves me wrong, but it's just a really tough region.
Okay. John the pessimist.
Moving That's right.
On, Shane, your thoughts on football?
I can't really debate much of what John said, so I'll just add two or three things. I do like Edina Paint Valley. I do hate some of the competition they're going to have to face a little earlier. I guess what I would say is a little earlier than I expected them. I knew when it got back to the regular regional level, John, like it normally is. Mm-hmm. Let's face it, they're going to play really good teams like they always would. But I expect it a little bit earlier to be just a little bit easier. I'll say that our league, the top half of our league, especially from watching a lot of football on field level, I think some of our offensive line plays pretty good. So maybe that gives us a little bit of an opportunity, maybe not necessarily to win, but maybe to compete a little bit better than we have in years past. But I'll just be intrigued to learn the format, because I thought there would be a little bit more opportunity early on. I just wonder, too, a lot of times we say, man, you hate – like in volleyball, you hate when SVC has to play SVC because you're going to knock each other out. I just wonder in football, maybe once you get to a certain level, if it wouldn't be better for an Edina Paint Valley to play, or if it wouldn't be better for two of the other schools to match up early in what would be a sectional final level type of thing, or a district semifinal. And, hey, may the best team win and then go on and represent our league a little bit more. So that might just be something to look out for as well.
All right. Let's move along then to volleyball, and Shane, we'll come to you first with your thoughts on this one.
I do think the area is getting better this year, a little bit more competitive. When I say the area, I mean outside the SVC, because forever the SVC's just been so dominant. I mean, you certainly in D3, Wheelersburg has always been good. The last couple years here seem to even be taking it to a different level. Alexander has a terrific program. They have arguably one of the best individual players in this part of Ohio. And then Edina, Westfall, Huntington, Zane Trace, Edina's playing some of the best volleyball I've seen them play in the last couple years. We know Westfall's been there, done that. Huntington with the elite hitters in Basie and Steele, and the way their role players have come on. And then Zane Trace, they're a different bunch. They're up and down, I'll say that. But like I told Coach Davis on the way to the car the other night when I was talking to her after their 5-set win against Uniota, look, Coach, I'm not – you're asking me my opinion. I won't lie to you. It's certainly up and down. But I'll say this, John, I wouldn't want them in my bracket.
Oh, no.
It's one of those. So it's, because – somewhere in there is that team that was taking it to Edina 2-1 to start that match, and that's come back a couple times to win. So again, Uniota is going to split off. They're probably, this particular Uniota team, probably going to be a little in over their head at some point there by the sectional final round. But again, it's all a matchup. Pierce is terrific. She had 31 kills again the other night. they're a lot like Southeastern. And at the D4 level, a little bit of a Paint Valley. When I think of names like Pierce and Lougheed and Smith, they're all having some big years, John. It's getting a little bit more from their secondary hitters as those people. What happened the other night, Casey got stuck in the back row there in that fifth set. I've seen it with Smith a little bit. The more they can start to get from Dye and Stanforth and Chapman and some Furness, some of those hitters across the front, that's really, really important. The same way with Lougheed. I know Scott and Bells. And then Ava Christopher appeared back with Letterman Kills there in the McLean match the other night, but then gets re-injured in the Paint Valley. So I haven't really heard what the outlook there is. That's just – it's been tough on that young lady because I know she's worked hard. But, yeah, Bruce, I think that even though it's better, I don't see any reason why at the Division III level especially. I don't know. Uniota, I'd like to see them get into a sectional final and give themselves a chance. Paint Valley, I think I know they had the one slip up down there at Western. Again, they were up 2-0. I don't have an excuse for them. It shouldn't have happened. It did. But I still think they're going to have an opportunity to win a sectional in D4. And then in D3 there, like I said, you have Wheelersburg, you have Alexander. But out of Edina, Westfall, Huntington, Zane, Trace, I certainly think we could get two – if not, if we get the do we know if we get the three out again this year?
I believe it is, but I haven't.
It's three. We honestly could run the table, but I see no reason why we couldn't get two for sure.
Yeah,
John, you have anything to add on volleyball?
I hope for Paint Valley that they don't get stuck in like the 8-9 seed to play somebody like a Notre Dame to get out of the sectional, because I think that they have a nice group. Hopefully that Western loss doesn't hurt them enough to where it puts them down that low, or puts them into just kind of a weird setting for them, because I think they could make a little run. I like our chances to get at least, like Shane, you mentioned, at least two teams out in Division III, possibly three, because, you know, that Edina group's really special. But at the same time, St. Trace, while they're kind of inconsistent, man, when they get going, they're really good.
Right.
And, you know, pushing Edina to five, being up 2-1 on them shows to me how good they can be. Westfall has just an elite player in Phillips and also Mullins. And, you know, they've played really good volleyball. Huntington, anytime you have – you know, an Allison Basie, a Steele, a Hirsch, you've got a chance to make a run. And I'm just really impressed with from top to bottom in the league. I think we can make a couple really special runs here.
All right. Let's go on to soccer, John.
All right. So I will start by saying I don't sense like a really big run really outside of the possibility of like a Uniota. I don't think D3's as strong as normal. So I think if Zane Trace can get the right matchup, I know against Uniota the other night, they didn't have their goalie. He was sick, which took off one of their starting freshmen and put him into goal, who's not typically a goalie. So that's kind of what my Sydney Free thing I talked about earlier is the goalie makes a big difference. And also, if you have to take a player off the field, it can make a big difference. And with Spencer Wysinski, they just have somebody who can just go get a goal because he's just so dynamic. It's if you haven't seen that kid run, he is unbelievably fast. I know he played baseball a couple of years ago. I don't know if he'll run track or play baseball, but if he runs track, I would think he'd have a pretty good chance. In some of the sprinting events. So I think Zane Trace could make a little push. If Southeastern had more depth in the boys, they have maybe 12 players. Their junior class is pretty nice, but without any depth, it really hurts them. I like Uniota in the D2 draw to at least get to a district, maybe not win it. But there's two district champions that come out of Division II this year. I know Coach Haynes really wants another shot at Athens after they kind of laid an egg down there the other night. He said they kind of dominated possession of the game, but just couldn't find the back of the net. And then Athens just did. And he said Athens was much better than their record. So I think, you know, with a dynamic senior like Ethan Kearns, who just went over the 50 goal mark, which I'll get to how ridiculous Sierra Mitten is here in a minute. But the 50 goal mark, only the fifth player in the almost 40 years of soccer for Uniota to do so. Pretty wow. Impressive. Yeah. With him and obviously the really young kids, I think Uniota could make a little bit of a run. I know probably here in a couple of years will be when they make some special runs, but this could be a year to kind of get their feet wet and get going forward. Now on the girls' side,
you know, with Southeastern, I think they're kind of, they're probably too one dimensional. Even though, you know, the Mustard and Kingsley kids are really good. You know, with Mitten, she scores 8 goals the other night out of their 10. You know, that's still pretty one dimensional to have all your goals coming from the same spot. And St. Trace did a really good job shutting her down the other, a couple weeks ago. So, you know, and congratulations to Mitten for breaking the SEC and Ross County record for career goals. I think she's at 109. Is that right, Shane?
It is 109. And the young lady that we've had on Great Seal Sports cover before, Addie Ursulin, she's over 100 as well. So, yeah. County wise, I guess technically, depending on what happens down the stretch, that's not completely over yet.
Right. So as of now, has the county record, but that could change. But,
right.
Which watching, I know this is an SVC. I know this is against the rules, but watching watching Ursulin and Chillicothe, I think she'd have a great chance if Chillicothe was still D2 because they're really good.
I've heard that from several people. Absolutely.
Yeah, and it's going to be tough for the girls' side to really make some noise outside of a Uniota who, like I mentioned earlier, really put it to Marietta, who was undefeated. And it was what we talked about kind of probably for the one seed was that game the other night. They beat them 5-2 and had a goal taken off. That was I'm trying – you know how we talked about the – I think we talked about it off the air a couple weeks ago, like that really bad call on AJ Green.
It was
possibly worse than that on the goal that was taken off called the other night. But, you know, they just kind of dominated, and they've done really well against the Division II teams in the district. The problem for them is that only one team's going to get out. But I think they've played well enough to avoid a Marietta or Fairfield Union rematch until the district final. So
the final. Okay.
Yeah. So that would be huge. And I think it might've changed that the district final might be no longer at a home site, but if it's still at a home site, those schools having to come all the way to Uniota is a huge advantage as well.
Sure. Yeah.
All right. Anything on soccer from you, Mr. Shane? Not.
Well, I'll pretty much always go to John on that. Yeah. The couple things that do intrigue me is anytime you have a kid like Free in goal, you have a chance. Mm-hmm. Obviously, just following John's updates and so forth and what Derek, I know he's covered a lot of soccer. The Uniota boys' talent level seems to be really on the rise. And then, again, anytime you have a Mitten in the early rounds, just takes a goal or two. So those are some of the things there. But, again, I think John does an outstanding job. I always appreciate his updates. And then, like I said, we're looking to highlight that a little bit in the Great Seal Sports as well.
All right. Last but certainly not least, cross country. You want to take this, Shane?
Well, certainly, we talked earlier, Uniota boys, in all seriousness now, I mean, they could win the whole thing. I mean, anytime you start competing at the level they do, it's not very often, John, in the SVC where we talk about, you know, hey, they could compete at the regional level. We're talking about a team that could go to the highest level and belong. Okay, so that's impressive. We've talked about that. The one tournament thing that intrigues me a ton here would be the Huntington girls. Because with Uniota Zane Trace and the SVC and Westfall, they've been flying all over the place in terms of up down. It's really tight. A lot of times, you know, you start to move kids up and down 3-4 spots that can influence that. But when they break off into their division, I'm intrigued by Huntington girls as they advance on into the regional level, having a chance to push onto the state maybe. That would be a group that I would certainly pay attention to.
John, anything for you from cross country?
That Peninsula Wooldridge that has won the 9 straight state championships, something like that for D2. Right. I'm really excited to see how Coach Paxton's group does competing against them. And Shane, like you mentioned with the girls, you know, it sounds like we've got some really talented runners, so be fun to follow in the postseason.
Yeah, we'll definitely get some individuals there, Bruce, if those teams would not qualify, because, again, 2 or 3 of those runners on each of those teams are pretty good.
All right, so that's our predictions, if you will, or our summations of the post season possibilities. We move along now to our last section of the podcast here. But first, I want to mention North Fork Animal Clinic, boarding, grooming, and they are located at 2260 Anderson Station Road in Chillicothe. They're a veterinary medical facility providing services to pets in Chillicothe, Ohio, and in the surrounding areas. Give them a call, 740-773-7387. Dr. Blake Lloyd and his staff will be happy to see you. So, I guess, Shane, we're going to call this looking back and moving forward. We're just kind of looking for a summation or kind of a what your thoughts are on what we've been through this unique fall season. Perhaps, you know, from an SVC focus standpoint, we got the COVID-19 protocols. We got the postponement of the Westfall Piketon game last week. We've got benches, how they have to maintain their distancing and so forth. And then, of course, there are fans as well. So let's just kind of let you kick it off here, Shane.
Yeah, I would love to hear from all three of us here. I'll be real short because I just have one very, very detailed thing I want to talk about. I think overall I've been impressed as a teacher, the middle school rules, the way the kids have jumped in and really followed along. I know people could sometimes struggle with rules, but for the most part, I think our area has done a pretty positive job. I know people get frustrated. I know the other night in football, some people were frustrated or whatever. The only thing I'll say on this as a spring coach, my brother and I were talking about it on Expanding the Zone, the podcast that we do over there on the YouTube channel about leadership and coaching, is I have a hard time, guys, hearing fall coaches and fall people complain about some of these different things when we went through last spring what we went through. So just that's all I'll say is I kind of don't want to hear it. You need to kind of sometimes, you know, bite your tongue, suck it up, do what you have to do to move forward and be glad that you're playing. Occasional cancellation or whatever certainly isn't like getting your whole season taken from you. So that's the only thing I would say there is so far I think our area's done a really good job. I just think that, you know, sometimes you just need to understand that we've been real, real fortunate, and let's keep our head down moving forward and continuing to do what we need to do so we can keep playing.
John?
I don't know. Like, I know you can't go over 100% on agreeing with somebody, but like, I 1,000,000% agree with you, Shane, on that. Like, you get to play, you know, especially for the people that are complaining that aren't actually playing or coaching. It's, you know, it's been unique here in the fall, but for the most part, outside of really that Piketon Westfall game, there hasn't been,
right,
you know, and the adjustment of the schedule. But we were one day away from our first scrimmage. And then all of a sudden, you got 3 weeks. Okay, well, you know, we're going to look at maybe getting back in May. No, just canceling everything. And it's just, you know, that's that's much more difficult than possibly losing one game. You don't want to see anyone lose any games. But, like, especially with now, I feel like if someone's making a decision for the health of their school and everything, I don't really think we can really question that.
Yeah.
I mean, it's you're worried about your community. And I know the late notice, I think, was what really bothered people on that. But it's not really where we can just sit down for 5 minutes and discuss, like, hey, are we going to go down and play this game? It's like, no, they had to take time. You had to get all the people together to decide this. I'm sure for Westfall, it was not like a really quick decision to not go down to Piketon and compete after their kids had practiced all week to get ready for the game. Like, so I feel like a lot of people thought it was that way. Like, no, these kids, they still went to school. They still practiced. They did all their stuff. So I'm sure the Westfall kids weren't, and coaches were not looking forward to the news when they got it, that they weren't going to go down there.
Yeah.
You know, so I feel like, you know, we have to, and it wasn't just Piketon people that were upset. I heard people from different areas that were upset. I'm like, well, it's something that you have to decide for your community. And it's, you know, it's not an easy decision.
Yeah. Well, first and foremost, I'm thankful that I'm not the person making these decisions throughout all of this. You can't win for losing. And I'm sure Shane and Matt have talked about that, and in the expanding the zone, some of the leaders that we have had to make decisions. Everybody is an armchair quarterback when it comes to that. And you got to remember that this isn't any kind of controlled experiment for us. You don't know what would have happened if. And
right.
So I always kind of come back to that. And secondly, I guess I'm thankful overall that there was a season for these kids, for the fans, for the public, for those of us that cover sports. It did bring back, believe it or not, to me, some normalcy to life a little bit. You know, they did, most of them got a senior night, albeit, you know, the crowds weren't as big. There were some homecoming activities at certain ones. You know, it was a weird season, and it's going to have an asterisk beside it forever and ever. But it was a season, like you said, and you guys both being spring coaches, you really appreciate the fact that, you know, now people should see it as, hey, you got something. You didn't get completely blocked from your baseball season like you did. So, you know, from that perspective, I'm just thankful that we did what we did. I'm really kind of relieved that it's turned out so far. You know, so far, I will kind of put that in there. It's turned out so far so good in many respects. No one knew how it would work. And
right.
You know, when I've been at the couple football games that I've been able to attend, I've seen people, I know that a lot of people don't want to comply with the requests, but they've been able to comply. And, you know, when asked, they do what they have to do. And, you know, it's ultimately for the kids, believe it or not. We always say that, but in this case, it really is. It's for the kids so they can have the seasons, albeit a little different, but they had a season. So,
I think that's well said. Bruce, if that's all I had down the main or the agenda. If you want to give some contact info,
sure. Well, on this point
of
looking back, moving forward, we'd surely like to see what you have to say out there, the listening audience. And I'm sure there's some people are going to have some things to say about the fill in the blank segment. Maybe a little bit even about the segment on the postseason. They might have some other thoughts. And so if you would like to transmit those to Shane or John, we would really appreciate receiving them. I think sometimes that just kind of stokes the fire a little bit of what we were able to program into the podcast in the subsequent weeks. So for Shane, you can email him at admin1@svcsportzone.com. John Bruce's email is jbruce1018@yahoo.com. Both are on Twitter. Shane, his handle is SEC Sports Zone, and John's is Coconut Wall Papa. That's Coconut Wall PAPA. Shane maintains two profiles on Facebook, Shane Combs SVC Sports Zone and SVCSportsZone.com. And when these gentlemen do tweet about SVC content, they will use the hashtag SVC Sports Talk. So you can kind of follow the SVC Sports Talk hashtag on your Twitter, and you can find all kinds of information, others as well, using that hashtag. And so we can kind of, you know, separate the grain from the shaft, so to speak. All right. If you would like to leave a message, a voicemail message, you may do so at the DBK Media Services voicemail line, 740-569-3254. As always, we ask that if you see our traffic on Facebook or Twitter, that you share it on Facebook, perhaps even like it on Twitter, like it on Facebook, retweet it on Twitter as well. And if you're listening on iTunes, we request a review and perhaps a good review as well. Final thoughts, gentlemen. John, anything kind of percolating in that brain of yours right now?
That usually isn't much, but I guess I'm looking forward to it being slightly cooler. I don't want it to get cold. Yeah. Like I like the idea that it's going to be a little cooler, more like kind of, I guess, more like a week 10 yeah. feel on Friday night for football. But I would prefer it, instead of being like 50, to be like 70 still. Like, you know, I prefer that. But just look for me out at games. I'll be at, you know, when this comes out, I'll be at Southeastern Uniota soccer on Monday to see how Searmitten does matching up against that Uniota defense. You know, that'll be a fun matchup. I don't know how good the game will be, but, you know, that matchup at least will be, should be pretty fun to watch. And, you know, I'm going to try to get out and get to some volleyball this week. You know, we'll see. Friday night, I'm kind of open-ended. You know, I don't think I'm covering for Sosa, doing the play-by-play or anything. So we'll kind of see where what the best game is, and I'll probably end up there.
Shane, how about you?
Well, before I close this out here, I'll throw out that I always look forward to the golf sectionals. I think it's a fun time. I know kids get out of school a little bit. You know, we always joke a bad day on the golf course is better than a yep. good day at work.
Right.
JC's Crown Hill, I talked earlier about advantage of playing at home, sure beats you know, our drive to one of those golf courses sure beats, like, say, Crooksville
yeah.
coming all the way over here. So, you know, again, I just think it's a great opportunity to play close to home and play in the postseason. Volleyball gets really intriguing. This is going to take us up to what now, 10 matches by week's end. We're going to get a much better idea. I've said all along, I think surviving Uniota, Southeastern, teams like that in the second half is a must for the top half. Zane Trace barely did it the other night. Huntington gets their turn with Uniota. Westfall gets a turn with Uniota. So, again, Uniota is a team that's extremely dangerous in that particular thing. You also get Huntington Zane Trace match. That's pretty much an elimination match in terms of staying in this thing. So intrigued by that. Football, Adina going for gold. I certainly don't want to overlook the, you know, they clinched the share the other night. They're going to be a big favor to run the table here Friday night. I know that senior class has it's been a long time coming. Really enjoyed my interview earlier in the year with Preston Sykes. You can see that Great Seal Sports. He was real open about it. He said that, you know, talked about they've done a lot of winning, John, but, you know, they'd finished second, third in a lot of sports in the league, and they're kind of sick of it. And,
right.
You know, he kind of talked about the chip couldn't be any bigger on the shoulder. And so the coach and me, obviously, real impressed with how mature they've went about their business this year, just kind of going through whooping everybody. You know, they've got one left there on Friday night, and I certainly think they'll be focused and ready to go. So that's something we'll watch. And then obviously the football draw is something completely new. Soccer, I always lean to John, but you know, it's kind of like how many for Mitten is kind of on my mind.
Right.
And that type of thing. So all of those things intrigued by. We too are looking at some different options on Friday night. We've had some different schools reach out. I'm going to talk some technology with you guys off air. I'm going to talk to some tech guys at two or three different schools and see. As I said on the volleyball call the other night, that's what we're here for. We're just trying to supplement the coverage of SVC Sports Zone for our eight SVC schools, and we're excited to do that. So guys, on that note, We'll get on out of here. I appreciate both of you and your comments on the COVID-19 and all the work for SVCSportsZone.com. So make sure you're checking out the website. We're going to have a bunch going on this week as we cover our fall athletes. And as always, we'll try our best to keep it 100% SVC 100% of the time.
You've been listening to the SVC Sports Talk Podcast. SVC Sports Talk is brought to you by SVCSportsZone.com. Join us next time for SVC Sports Talk and visit SVCSportsZone.com, where we're 100% SVC 100% of the time.